Bret Hart Radio is presented by Sharpshooter Funding in association with PodcastArena.com and Gao Media.
Are you a small business looking to get over, but you don't have all the funds you need? Well, there's a solution. Check out sharpshooterfunding.com. At Sharpshooter Funding, they know that they have a solution to fit your specific needs. Their team has the experience and knowledge to find you the best product for your specific situation. Whether you're a first-time customer or a repeat business partner, their team will fulfill your needs. Give them a ring at 416-238-0252. That's 416-238-0252. Or send an email to dallas@sharpshooterfunding.com.
This is Bret Hart Radio. The best there is.
The best there was.
The best there ever will be.
Bret Hart Radio. Live from Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Here are your hosts. WWE Hall of Famer Bret the Hitman Hart, his sons Blade and Dallas, and WrestleZone.com's Nick Houseman.
It's Bret Hart Radio.
Bret Hart Radio. Bret Hart Radio.
Hey, this is Bret the Hitman Hart, and welcome to another edition of the Sharpshooter Show on Bret Hart Radio. I want to welcome my hosts again. I got my marvelous son Blade. I got my son Dallas, who's still rocking and reeling from his trip to Thailand just a few days ago. And I got the irascible Nick Houseman.
Oh my God, irascible. I haven't heard that word since the 1950s. That's like an old...
Dig in the archives, you know?
You selling me snake oil right now, Brett?
I'm not really... Shakespearean Bret Hart here.
Take all this stuff and just roll yourself in it and just bask in it.
This is what I do, Brett. I've linked together all of the nice descriptives you've put to me, and that's how I fall asleep. It's the white noise as I go to bed. Like, oh, I'm irascible, whatever. Yes, we got a great show here today. Of course, you have Mickey Gall. We're featuring on here today. We're going to go sharpshooting with you, Blade and Dallas. But as always, before we get into it here today, of course, let's give praise, give some love to our main sponsor here, Sharpshooter Funding. Dallas, I know... you guys are always working on new things over at Sharpshooter Funding. What's something going on right now from the world of Sharpshooter Funding?
Yeah, well, you know, same old, funding deals every day. And we just had a big deal close here, actually in Alberta. Brent over at Coyote North, we were actually able to get him funded within 2 days. He's in a bit of a tough industry, but we're able to get him funding. And, you know, just goes to show what we're able to do over there. So. We encourage everybody to come check us out and apply. And if you're, you know, in the market for capital, go visit sharpshooterfunding.com and hit us up.
Awesome. Yeah. And of course, guys, go over to iTunes, subscribe for free to Bret Hart Radio. 5-star ratings, comments are always appreciated. You can also find us over at podcastarena.com. And we've made a regular thing here on the show of reminding everybody, if you would like to help out Bret and the whole Hart Foundation, get into the Hall of Fame. Go over to HartFoundationForHallOfFame.com. And, yeah, Brett, I mean, you've said many nice things about this and how the fans can help get the Hart Foundation. And one more time, why should people go sign their name to this petition?
Well, I just think it's important to get as many names as possible, see if we can get maybe get some of these people thinking about inducting, you know, I'm talking about WWE, to get them to induct Owen, my brother Owen, and even Jim the Anvil and Davey Boy and Brian Pillman. I think all of us, when I look at the last sort of installments of the Hall of Fame, I thought that I think they'd be more than earned our place to be there. And I really feel that the fans, after that really nice Owen Hart DVD came out, but the WWE did this past winter or fall or whatever, was really opened the door for that chance for the fans to show their appreciation and love for Owen at the Hall of Fame this year. And it's a heartbreak for me that Owen's widow Martha put a stop to that and made kind of squashed anybody celebrating Owen's life. And I think that she needs to sort of be a little more considerate of the fact that there's a lot of people that miss and love Owen, and we want to celebrate his life and remember him. And I think her sort of position's a little off balance with reality and just logic. And, you know, I think that with Jim the Anvil Neidhart, my tag partner, you know, we were two-time tag team champions. We were, I would say, through most of the 80s and early 90s, were probably one of the greatest tag teams in the history of the WWE. And, you know, Jim Neville, Neidhart's not getting any younger. And I would love the chance for him to be celebrated for the great wrestler that he was and the great performer and the great entertainer. And I know that, you know, in talking to Jake the Snake a few weeks ago, you know, it's like being inducted into the Hall of Fame means a lot to some guys. You know, it's like it means everything, you know. And I know it would mean a lot to Jim Neidhart. I know it would mean a lot to, you know, Bulldog's kid and the rest of the Bulldog family, Harry and Georgia, and my niece and my nephew. I think Brian Pillman's family would love a chance to just remember him and give him the same respect that, say, Warrior God or Papa Chongo God or whatever, whoever these guys are in wrestling that always get, like, the Freebirds got inducted last time. It's like,
Drew
Carey. That's really nice. And I have no problem with anybody they've inducted, but let's look at some of the guys that built this company right from the beginning for real, you know, back in the 80s and the early 90s when it was, when WWF was truly formed. And you give all the world credit for Hulk Hogan and what he did for wrestling. But, you know, there was a lot of guys that made the machine run in those days besides Hulk Hogan and Roddy Piper and those guys that were all the main event guys. There was all the little cogs in the wheels from the Bulldogs and the Killer Bees and the Rougeau brothers and, you know, everybody you can think of from those days, from Coco Beware and Virgil, and, you know, you just go on and on and on. And there's a proper way to remember a lot of those names. And when I think of Demolition and I think of Hart Foundation and even Rick Rude and China for that matter. And there's a lot of people that deserve to be inducted. And I hope that soon enough they will be. Yeah. And this is just the start of that.
Yeah, guys. I think if Donald Trump's in there and the Hart Foundation's not, that's a disgrace in my mind.
Absolutely.
Drew Carey might be worse than Donald Trump.
I don't know. I don't know. Like, Drew Carey would build a funny wall, right, that you got to punch and then you pull. Yeah. And there's money on the other side of it, you know, or a car, something like that. I don't know.
Arnie. What the hell did Arnie get? Didn't Arnie get inducted?
Yeah, he was there.
What did he get?
Everyone loves Arnie, though. Well, I didn't mind seeing Arnie going, but he really didn't do it then.
What the hell, yeah. Compared to what the Demolition did, let's say, on a scale. Put the
Mike Tyson went in.
Put their bios together as far as wrestling.
What do you think about people being taken out of the Hall of Fame, Brett? I mean, like, people have said, you know, I don't think Hulk Hogan's been formally removed from the Hall of Fame. It's like they threw a curtain over a statue or something like that. Is that something you think can be taken away from somebody?
I don't think so. I'm not the biggest advocate for Hulk Hogan, but
what a, he's a real
I would
racist,
say
brother.
That, you know, he definitely made a mark, a huge mark and a huge difference in the business. And to not remember him is like kind of stupid. Like, how could you not remember Hulk Hogan? Or at least, you know, he's certainly entitled to his fair size. Like, he should have a fairly big spot in the Hall of Fame. He was a huge wrestling personality, maybe the biggest ever. But at the same time, you know, I think your work, like what you left behind, your legacy, your whole, you know, your life story, your entire work, from top to bottom kind of thing, you know, his will probably always be a little bit tarnished by his comments and racial remarks he made. But, you know, you can never deny that he was a hero to millions of people, and then he had fans all around the world and people that loved him and people that worshiped him. And he was like this huge, he knocked and blew the roof off wrestling like nobody ever did before. And I think you can't ever take that away from him, whatever he did, whether even Benoit. I mean, Benoit never made the impact that Hogan did, but I mean, you know, if they took Benoit out of the Hall of Fame, I think, and I'm sure he's out, but, you know, I feel bad. He had there was moments of greatness. And I think what happened with Benoit is more of a, you know, a tragedy that, you know, I guess if there's ever a guy to be taken out of the Hall of Fame, it'd probably be him, you know. But, you know, for people, I think for a lot of us anyway, you want to be remembered for the body of work you did. And, and what happens after your career a lot of times shouldn't have an effect on what you, at least the impact you made in the industry. And that goes along with, you know, Jerry Lawler's sort of been dragged through the mud the last few months, but, you know, and hearing sort of, different, very like a sort of the stories or the dirt on it kind of thing is that, you know, all I can say is that I know Jerry to be a really good guy. And, I believe everything he says when he says he didn't do anything to bring that on. He had good intentions, and Jerry's a guy that doesn't drink, and he's not a crazy kind of loony kind of guy. He's a very solid, down to earth kind of guy, and kind of passive and easy going. So I don't see whatever happened with him and his significant other a few weeks ago or whatever. Yeah. I think it's just an unfortunate shame. There's probably a lot of regret on both sides. And I don't think Jerry probably did anything that, you could be taken as wrong anyway.
Yeah. Well, they've actually lifted his suspension. I think that happened over the weekend. So Jerry,
good. I'm glad for him. Cause he's a good guy. And, you know, he doesn't deserve that. Jerry's gone through a lot of stuff in his career, but you know, if you get to know him the way I've known him over the years, he's a pretty solid guy. And, you know, that just goes to what we were saying about wrestlers. You know, like, they can have things will happen over your career. And, you know, it's hard to, like with Jake or different guys, you go, you know, there's a lot of guys that have made mistakes in their lives after their career. But, my God, you got to remember the footprint that they made in the business. And, you know, Jake Roberts is a guy that I'm so glad and happy for him that he got inducted in the Hall of Fame, because, A, he deserved it. I mean, he really deserved it, always deserved it. I don't care what anybody says about Jake Roberts. You can never deny that he was a great wrestler and a huge draw and a great performer and an interesting character. And, like, you can go on and on. But he was a superstar in wrestling, and he deserves to be inducted in the Hall of Fame. And, you know, I believe that you know, the Hall of Fame should represent the best of the guys that worked in the business and the guys that were truly respected. And starting to get a little sloppy with the, you know, where they're not there's a lot of really great sort of, you know, really top-notch wrestlers that have not been inducted in the Hall of Fame. And I think when they're making their selections next year, I would like to see them scratch a little deeper and pull out some real bona fide, especially when they're doing the older classes of wrestlers, you know, like Rick Martel. Why is he not in the Hall of Fame? You know, he should be in the Hall of Fame for sure. Rick Rude, Bundy. How can you have a Hall of Fame and not have King Kong Bundy in it? I mean, my God, he was one of the hugest, biggest names in wrestling, and an amazing performer for a long time. And you can go on and on. There's a lot of guys that deserve to be in that Hall of Fame when they start inducting Arnold and all these other guys that, you know, for what they really did is hardly anything. And the guys that broke their backs and gave everything they had to be the great wrestlers that they were, you know, they need to you know, respect them and honor them.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, again, if you want to show your support, heartfoundationforhalloffame.com. And without further ado, I know we got a little clip from our Mickey Gall interview we're going to be playing here later in the show. Second half will be released on Friday in the Hart Family Vault. But without further ado, it is time to go sharpshooting with Brett the Hitman Hart.
It's time to go sharpshooting. Sharpshooting. News and notes from professional wrestling and beyond. It's sharpshooting with Bret Hart, presented by Sharpshooter Funding.
Well, of course, it is UFC 200 week. We've got Mickey Gall on the show here later talking UFC 203. But Brock Lesnar stepping in the octagon with Mark Hunt. And I wanted to use this as a chance for us all to make our final predictions for how Brock is going to fare. So I don't know who would like to start, but what do you guys think? What are Brock's odds this weekend against Mark Hunt?
I think he might be in trouble, to be honest. I think Mark Hunt's going to just pound him to death.
Yeah,
I think Brock's chin has showed that it's not made of diamonds or anything like that. I think he might get his world rocked by the big Samoan boy. Or what is he? New Zealand? He's from New Zealand?
He's Samoan. Yeah. He's a super Samoan.
Yeah. Guy's a beast, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think I'm rooting for Brock Lesnar, but I think he maybe picked the wrong opponent.
After all the times in Hawaii, I've learned very quick, don't fuck around with the Samoans. They're all pretty tough.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same camp, I guess. I really admire him for going in and doing it, not just doing UFC, but to make the crossover from one thing to another. Like, he's to be great. He's to me, is a great, great professional wrestler. UFC is got to be a challenge. And like Punk, I really admire him for going in there and like being a real gladiator and going out there and basically fighting for for all it's worth, kind of thing. Is admirable of him to be doing, going in there. But I also have a lot of fear about that crossover. Is like pro wrestling is so much easier. It's actually a good way to heal up. Maybe it's probably a good way to stay in shape, but I don't know if it's the kind of shape that you need to be a UFC fighter. It's pretty constant. I mean, I don't know very many people that could be as fit as a UFC guy. I mean, and whatever sport you're in, I mean, tennis or whatever, I imagine a UFC guy could probably outrun you for longer anyway. I mean, they just seem like they're super athletes. And to make that crossover from pro wrestling, where it's just also very, very hard, but it's a different kind of hard. And to go to the UFC is going to be such an adjustment. And I fear for Punk the same way. It's got to be a real tough adjustment to suddenly have someone throwing punches at you for real and kicking you in the head for real, as opposed to someone throwing a working kick and a working punch and throwing working punches and working kicks. It's a whole different, they're not even close to each other. They're a million miles apart. And I really respect for Brock for going in there. But I fear in the fights I've seen that he doesn't take punches well. Once he gets hit, he seems to kind of curl up and take more. He doesn't seem to take them very well or strong. They seem to rock him pretty good right off the bat. And I think conditioning is going to catch up with him. I know that this guy's, the Samoan guy, is a little tank. He's a tank. He's a little shorter than Brock by a couple inches, but they're like two big giant refrigerators kind of going at each other. They're going to be very similar. It's like a little tank against a tiger tank. It's they can still bang each other around pretty good. If Brock comes out strong and can finish him quick, he'll win, I think. But sometimes anything after 30 seconds, I think Brock might be in trouble.
Now, kind of shifting this back to the pro wrestling talk, if Brock does lose this fight, does that do anything to his drawing power in the WWE, do you guys think?
It didn't hurt him before. I don't think so. I think it makes people respect him either way. Because he's a very interesting, formidable character in wrestling. I mean, he has basically the same gimmick. He's a very formidable guy in real life. So, I mean, when you look at him, if you're going to draw a character to be a villain in pro wrestling, and you could create a character like Brock Lesnar, he's a pretty awesome character. I mean, there's very few guys that have that look and that kind of ability to be the pro wrestler that he is. I mean, he's a very talented, entertaining pro wrestler. Aside from all his fighting skills as an amateur wrestler and a UFC fighter, I think I certainly admire him. I can see that when he fought Couture and stuff, that you can see that he's a good fighter. I think that diverticulitis really took a lot out of him, and I don't know that he's ever fully recovered enough to be the Brock Lesnar that took away from him. When he took ill with that diverticulitis, he was still pretty pretty young. That's a tough business. That's a young man's business, that UFC, and that's a sort of a sad note for both Punk and Brock, is that neither one of them is a spring chicken in a young man's business. Yeah. But Brock, I know that he's got a lot of heart and he's got a lot of fight in him, but this Samoan fella just seems that he's got a good skill for punching. He's a punching guy, and punch and kicks. And if any of those get through to Brock and hit him, connect in any way, even the knees. I noticed one of his other fights that he just had with the Mexican guy that beat him, they got him with the knees and the gut. And Brock, again, hadn't recovered enough from his diverticulitis. But, then again, you have to look at it from being Brock's in his shoes. He's he's been able to sort of step off, kind of like Shamrock did. He stepped off the curb and got out of all the traffic and went into pro wrestling and dropped the UFC, healed up his body, healed up his injuries, but he didn't wrestle that much where he was like I was on the road every day. He's been home just about all year round. He's got all the time in the world to go hunting and train and do all the things he wants. He may have used all this time as a wrestler to prepare himself mentally, physically, and heal himself up and get ready to go back and take on UFC again. This whole wrestling stint he's done for the last couple of years is just a way to recover and pay the bills and make some money and have some fun. And, I hope that's the case for him and for Punk too. I hope that both of them, I think it took a lot of guts to make the choices that they made, and I admire both of them, and I'll be cheering both of them on all the way.
Now, there's a couple questions I have that kind of spin out of the Brock Lesnar UFC WWE dynamic. Where to start? Okay, I'll start with Stephanie McMahon's recent comment that, much like her dad Vince has said in the past, she doesn't view the UFC as competition. What they do is as a sport, and what the WWE does is like a movie that ends in this dramatic stage combat. Do you guys think that UFC is competition to WWE? Do you agree or disagree with that statement?
I don't know. I don't think they are. I kind of agree with it. I don't think they are competition. If they are, they're two totally different worlds. But I think the beauty of both of them is that they get sort of a fringe of both that cross over. There's a lot of UFC fans that love pro wrestling that watch both, religiously kind of thing. And there's a crossover the other way where people that love UFC still like a little bit of wrestling. And they like when there's a good payoff, like a good match where it's like, I want to see this guy and that guy wrestle. It's like they like it. They like, let's not forget, even Ali was a huge wrestling fan. There's guys that love the circus and the bullshit that pro wrestling gives, and it's great. I saw a thing last year where Cormier was up in the top of the rafters or whatever, and he was watching Seth Rollins win the world title, and he totally popped on the finish and the ending and the switcheroo or whatever. It looked like Seth wasn't going to win, and then he won, I think. But I just watched the joy and the little kid come out in Cormier, and it just made me admire him and go, okay, he's a wrestling fan. He loved wrestling. You could tell he just loved it like a little kid that watched wrestling like I did when I was a kid, when I'd see a certain match and on TV or live, and it just, there's a certain something about pro wrestling that hits little boys and kids and even girls that they just love. It becomes something they become fascinated with, and I think that's a great thing. That's what pro wrestling does for you.
Yeah, and I mean, Blade Dallas, what do you guys think? UFC competition to WWE or not?
I think they can coexist for sure. I think something like maybe UFC and boxing would maybe be a little more competitive. Like, you'd never see Floyd Mayweather fight Conor McGregor, which I'd love to see, because I'd love to see Floyd Mayweather get his ass handed to him. Wrestling can coexist peacefully, I think.
I think people go to wrestling looking for something else, a different kind of entertainment. I don't think they go to it for the combat side of it. It's more the dramatics, I think.
When I look back and I think about Gorilla Monsoon picking up Muhammad Ali and body slamming him, just the sort of how that came off, and the fact what it was Ali was just a wrestling fan that went in and wanted to have some fun, and Gorilla Monsoon didn't know what the heck he was doing with Ali, and he also knew that he couldn't hurt this guy or doing it. Had to be really, and here was a gifted opportunity to do something. One of the greatest, world figures, and there's no bigger name than Muhammad Ali, and all of a sudden you got him up over your head, and he gave him a really nice gentle body slam, and Ali sold the heck out of it, and it was such a great thing where it's like they kind of one hand washed the other, and it was nice that boxing kind of gave a little pat on the back to the wrestling business back then. And if you look at wrestling within a few years of that time period, it just went through the roof. It just went crazy. Wrestling became the huge success of WrestleMania 1, and where look at wrestling where it is today. But there's a lot of people that that were huge fans of wrestling growing up, like Ali, and it's nice that so many UFC guys are fans. I mean, I always take it as a huge compliment when Rousey was a big Roddy Piper fan, and you know, you can just go on and on and on, and you find that there's a lot of respect from the real fighters to the pro wrestlers, and it's a nice pat on the back. There's no more bigger compliment than a pro wrestler can get, to when a UFC fighter comes up and tells him he's a big fan or is a big fan, and just that sort of respect, like, for at least you know, appreciate what you try to do.
Yeah. Oh wow, somebody's getting buzzed on something. I don't know who that is. Well, I guess it stopped now. That's good. All right. Now, the other thing coming out of this Brock Lesnar UFC thing, and I'll try to wrap up the Brock Lesnar WWE UFC talk here, is that it does seem to be a little contentious on both sides. Just some things that Stephanie has said about WWE not promoting Brock's fight, and then some comments Brock has made about the company, and, you know, back and forth. My question is it a given that when Brock Lesnar returns for SummerSlam, they're going to keep this guy strong and have him win? Or do you think that they will use him in this momentum to try to build one of their, you know, WWE superstars that's in-house?
Well, I think that Brock is he's such a powerhouse looking guy. I mean, he should almost always win. I don't see who do you like in pro wrestling, who could beat Brock Lesnar? Like, who should earn that right to pin him or make him submit or defeat him? It's, you have to pick a pretty good character that you know, like Cena could maybe do it, but he has to be, or The Rock, but it's somebody, he's not a guy that you can just put over. Yeah, like he just puts over guys and loses here and loses there. He'll lose his magic real quick as the phenomenon in pro wrestling that he is. I mean, he's got such a great look and a great presence, and his work is pretty damn tight too. I think that whatever happens in the UFC is a gamble for him. I hope it pays off, but if it doesn't, he's got wrestling sitting there waiting for him, and it was waiting for him before, and it'd be waiting for him again. I think people admire him. Like I said, I think a lot of people feel the exact same way I do. They admire him for having the balls to do both and to do both well. And they're two totally different mediums. And I think, you know, I'm glad that that pro wrestling's there waiting for him.
Yeah, I mean, one of the rumored names right now that Brock could be facing at SummerSlam is a returning Randy Orton, which could be his first match back. I mean, do you see Randy Orton as a guy that would make sense if he were to beat Brock Lesnar?
I could see Randy doing it, but I don't see it, Randy doing it. You know, it's like Dean Ambrose. I mean, they're both great wrestlers and you know, top talent kind of thing. They're up there in the, you know, the top of their field and all that. But like I said, Brock is a very special guy. I mean, do I think that Randy Orton could beat Brock in a real fight? No. And that's kind of what Brock has as a pro wrestler. It's like, it has to be a pretty special guy or a unique performer that should beat him. I know he's lost to certain guys, but it's got to be the right guy in the right way. And he's lost to, you know, smaller wrestling kind of guys that had great matches and stuff with him too. But, you know, he's done enough of those kind of where he's showed that he can be a, you know, he's an all pro kind of thing. He can lose, and he can lose with dignity. He can win with dignity. And, you know, I think at this point, he's a guy, especially coming out of the UFC, that they're going to have to keep him strong and build him by just the opposite. He should go sort of go through a lot of guys and destroy a lot of guys before they start thinking about beating Brock Lesnar if he comes back to wrestling.
Yeah. Lastly here on the Brock Lesnar news, he's going to be on the cover of WWE 2K17. I just wanted to know, Brett, I know you've been in some video games. Do you, Blade Dallas, you guys have a personal favorite Bret Hart video game? Is there a favorite game that you've been a part of, Brett?
Well, I like the new one. I have some discrepancies with the new game a little bit, though. I went to a thing last fall when the game was coming out, in the 2K one. And they were telling me how that I'm like a 85 or something like that. And that Triple H is a 98.
Whoa.
I
said, well,
I remember I was like, why would he be a 98? And they go, oh, because he's the, kind of like the boss and we got to suck up to the boss. And he was laughing about it. And I go, what? And it kind of pissed me off. I thought, you know, I don't care how many titles Triple H wins. You know, he could never lace my fucking boots up, period.
Yay, yay, shots fired.
He's a very good, mediocre wrestler. He was never blew me away with anything that he's ever done. He's never come up with much. He's always been a very decent wrestler that could give you a good match. And but as far as being like the mind-blowing
the best there is, the best there was, the best there will be.
I never saw it. Still never seen it. I've seen him in some matches. I even remember the whole 4 out of 10 thing came from his match with Lesnar, which should have been such a good match and was a mediocre match, if that. And that's where the 4 out of 10 comes from. But you know, he's always a guy that'll give you, you know, a 5 out of 10 match every night. You know, he's going to give you what he can give you. And that's just my opinion. You know, and there's certain guys that you put these video games out. I mean, I don't care, but I mean, I think you have to do justice to the wrestlers as they were through their careers. And there should be a bit of a, it should be based on reality, not, you know, not things like who you know in the office or, you know, Vince can make him 35-time world champion. Doesn't mean he's 35 times better than everyone else that ever wrestled. You know, he's just not, you know. And as far as the games go, it's like I think they should be honest. And, you know, like someone like Bruno Sammartino should never be a jobber on the video game and so on and so forth. I think you got to pay respect for the champions, that, especially for a video game. When I think of the video game, I think I would love to have Buddy Rogers versus Ric Flair or something like that, where you can wrestle these legends against each other from different periods and stuff. But they should all always represent sort of the reality of how the wrestling business, how it is and was. And it should also include the respect that the wrestlers have for each other in the dressing room.
I'd love to see Grampy in there. You know, I'd love to play you versus Grampy. Would be a hell of a.
I'd take my dad down so fast. You know, I'd just have him in the sharpshooter for you and it would hit him.
Grampy would pick you up like a grizzly bear.
But anyway, yeah, I like the video game. I like the 2K one. I like the fact that they can take wrestlers from different, and you can even create your own wrestlers. And but you can actually have your own sort of high spots and your own sort of philosophy to your like wrestling psychology to a video game is pretty special. That's a real come a long ways from the old games a long time ago. That's for sure.
You can't touch the classic games though.
Like
the old ones are better than the new ones, I think. WCW versus NWO.
Oh, that was a hell of a game.
That was for Nintendo 64. That was one of the best wrestling games ever made.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I hear that all the time. I have the WrestleMania arcade game up the street for me where you throw the big giant, like a pink ghost punch or whatever you throw.
Oh, yeah, we have that here at the house.
Yokozuna, doink.
Yep.
You could do blue Bret Hart versus pink Bret Hart because I could just never decide.
That's always sort of my dream.
Have you fight yourself?
Have the two Bret Harts wrestling each other.
That'd be an ideal scenario, actually. Yeah, Brett versus Brett. We'll talk about two of you. Well, the WWE has decided to double down. It looks like with the brand split now, they're going to start doing two pay-per-views a month, one for Raw, one for SmackDown, effectively doubling the amount of content they're doing each week. Just kind of generally, is this too much wrestling for you guys? Do you think that the fans are willing to buy in and watch this much wrestling each week? Are they risking burning the fans out right now?
You know, it's been said over and over and over. And I tell you, I got nothing but respect for WWE and Vince and how he sort of does a thorough sort of undertaking of what will work and what won't work. And they've done all the math on this kind of stuff. And, you know, if Vince and them decide they're going to go ahead with one pay-per-view a month and it's gonna be a tough because people can't afford it. And when they finally make the decision to go ahead with that, you know, they're usually right. And this is another case of Vince has done all the math, all the homework on this, and if he says that there's enough for a brand split, there's enough fans for both, then they know. Vince wouldn't be doing it if he didn't see some kind of logic to it.
How about you? I think even like them getting the network, everyone thought, you know, they didn't have the fans for it. Look how great the network's doing. So like my dad said, Vince, guy's smart, knows what he's doing.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
I would have thought the network would never pay off like with what they're losing, but it's clearly that's not the case, and it's been a real boon to them.
Yeah, they found a good way to do low cost, high quality productions recently, and I agree. I think the network has found a real stride. The last thing I wanted to ask you about here, while we wrap up the sharpshooting segment, before we go to our clip here from the Mickey Gall part one of our interview with Mickey Gall. Bob Backlund and Darren Young, the Make Darren Young Great Again vignettes. This past week on Raw, Bob Backlund said he's gifting the cross-face chicken wing to Darren Young. He is passing the torch of that move on to Darren Young. What do you guys think of these two together? I don't know. Just kind of my question. What do you think of Bob?
I've kind of liked them because I like both of them individually. Bob is... he's a lot like he is on TV. He's a real character, but he's a really passionate character. Like when he's telling you about something that he believes in, he's very passionate and gets very animated, like he does when he's talking to Darren on the screen there. But I think that and Darren, you know, he's just a great guy and a real stand-up guy, and you know, the fact that he's you know, taking the road he has in wrestling, it shows that he's got a lot of courage, and people have a lot of respect for him. There's not very many guys that could have, you know, taken that step forward like he did and sort of declared himself. And you know, he's I think he's respected for it, and I think it's an interesting matchup, him and Bob together, because Bob's very conservative, and but there's sort of a relationship that seems to be building out of that. I mean, I find myself watching it too and going, what an odd pair to have Bob Backlund sort of, you know, preaching to Darren and all that. But I kind of like it. And, you know, I know one thing about Bob is that he is the salt of the earth kind of guy. And, you know, I like the fact that they have him and doing something. Like anytime I can see Bob on TV, it's kind of like Duggan and certain guys that just, you just love them for who they were and what kind of characters they were and what kind of, how they represented the business for all the years that they were in it. And I like seeing Bob Backlund on TV. And going back to your final comment about the whole thing is that crossface chicken wing. Oh my God, that is the most intense submission hold maybe ever created. And I know that when I had it put on me with Bob putting it on, it was very painful. And, you know, I had to be almost like double jointed to let him put it on me. And, you know, if you recall the famous I Quit match with Bob Backlund, he when I finally put him in his own hold, it hurt too much for him to actually remember what he was supposed to say, which was he was supposed to say I quit. Instead, he kept saying uncle. And it's like, Bob, it's an I Quit match, not an uncle match. But, anyway, that's because it hurts for real, and it hurts a lot. And I wish Darren all the best for that hold, but hope he's got long arms, because it's a painful hold to put on somebody. And there's a lot of guys, some of those big muscle guys, you just can't put that hold on.
For advertising and business inquiries, please email info@sharpshooterfunding.com.
It looks like we have unfortunately run out of time this week on the Sharpshooter podcast. So we are going to play our entire Mickey Gall interview in its entirety this Friday on the Hart Family Vault. Go subscribe absolutely for free to Bret Hart Radio on iTunes. Be sure to get this full interview along with the 4 out of 10 and the Ask the Hitman segment this Friday. Bret Hart Radio's Hart Family Vault.
Bret Hart Radio is a TJ DeSantis production. In association with Nick Houseman and Sharpshooter Funding, Bret Hart Radio. Its content is intended for private use only.